Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
Okay. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Genesis chapter 3, familiar passage of Scripture that has such deep theological truth and meaning to it. The Lord laid something on my heart from the same passage, and we're going to talk about it today. Did you enjoy that last song, I Exalt Thee? I did. Jesse, you'd be the only one to remember, but we sang that at the first service almost exactly 38 years ago today when we first opened this place. So it has a lot of meaning for me. In any case, now the serpent, how's that for a start? Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, I appreciate it. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Verse 4, you will not certainly die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree, that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Well, Lord, there it is. Thank you for your word today. We pray that whatever truths you give to each of us, that it would build us up to make us people who know and love you more deeply and are witnesses to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So if you're a guest here, my name is Ray, one of the pastors here at Calvary, and we're in this series, at least a four-week series on the war on noise, contending for quiet. And Pastor Daniel, just a couple of weeks ago, opened the series with a phenomenal introductory message that talked about all the different ways that noise attacks us. A lot of us, well, let's just say probably 100% of us, barring children under two, carry a phone in our pocket. We carry technology with us, and it's that digital noise that can lead to a life of distraction when we rely or get too heavily involved in it. And then there's the noise he talked about in our calendars, that it's that noise that keeps us in a constant state of busyness. We're always moving, always thinking about something, always what's next by the busyness in our lives. Then he talked about the noise in our inner soul that leads to a discontentment where we're never satisfied with anything. We're always looking for the next thing. We're always wondering what's next. And we can't find our contentment in the very place we should always find it, and that's in Jesus. And finally, that noise in our minds that is a constant, speaking, he spoke, it's those lies that foster lies that we tend to believe if we're not careful, if we're not finding the quiet spaces where God can pour truth into our lives. That was a couple of weeks ago. Then Pastor Taylor last week, again, another phenomenal message, spoke from the life of Elijah that spoke of that inner voice that Elijah began to listen to, that began to, if you will, mess with him, talking about, just let me die under the broom tree and I'm the only one, and lies like that. And so he talked about that, you know, that inner voice creates loneliness, it creates anger, it creates a sense of weariness and a sense of hungry for whatever's next. And Daniel's point, Pastor Daniel and Pastor Taylor, their point was we need to find times, make space for quiet. We have to be intentional about it because it's not just going to happen. We're all together in that, right? Our lives are too frenetic, they're too hectic, it just doesn't work. We have to be intentional about finding times alone with God. And I loved what Pastor Taylor said. He said we can find those moments. God speaks through creation. God speaks. I mean, how beautiful is it out there today where you can see the mountain and the sun shining? It's freezing, but other than that, it's a really nice moment and it's beautiful out there. God speaks through creation. God speaks through the work and the life of Jesus, his work upon the cross. God speaks through Jesus. We know that God speaks by his Holy Spirit. It's that still small voice that continues to speak, that helps, that advocates, that counsels us, that does all of these different things. God speaking, the issue's never been with that. Are we listening is the question. We said, or rather he said, and we affirm that God speaks through his word, that this book is not just a history book, it's a book of faith, it's a rule of faith that teaches us how to live life according to the scriptures. And then finally, God speaks, as much as we don't like it, God speaks in our circumstances. He speaks through and in our circumstances. Sometimes you don't like it, but God does. Now, when we talk about the war on noise, when we talk about the war on noise, we're also talking about the voices that are out there, all the countless voices that we listen to, the voices from this area, the voices from this line of work, these voices all around us. And so it behooves us, or one of our callings as followers of the Lord Jesus, is to decide which voices are worth listening to. Does that make sense? To decide which voices we're going to let into our heads, to decide which voices we let in, which voices we keep out today. Because the issue is never about just about which, it's not just about the amount of noise, it's the power of the voices in our lives, that if we listen too long, they can begin to overwhelm us. They can shape us. They can shape how we think. They can inform what we believe. They can make us feel angry or sad or anxious today. Ultimately, it determines how we live if we continue to listen to these voices. Ultimately determines how we live. We live in a world we're surrounded by voices. Live in a world surrounded by them. Not just sounds or noise, but every voice seems to have an opinion. Can we agree on that? Every voice seems to have a commentary on some aspect of life. Every voice tends to want to analyze, has an analysis, an interpretation, an opinion, and a commentary today. And so we scroll, and we listen, and we watch. And before we know it, we're being told not just what happened, but we're being told what it means. We're being told what it means. We're being told who it is to blame. We're being told how we should feel about it. Nope, it's not the lack of information, but there's so much interpretation, opinions, and blame going on that it's really hard to keep our heads straight. We all together in that today? And it's constant. It seems constant. Here's the challenge. I was just thinking about this last week. Sometimes you and me, we can listen to, we can look at the same event. We can listen to the same speech. We can look at the same situation, and every single one of us in this room can completely interpret it differently based on the people that are in our heads. Now, did you catch that? Because I think that is incredibly important today. We can all look at the same thing and interpret opposite. If you don't believe me, go home and watch CNN for 30 minutes. No, you won't turn into salt. But watch CNN for 30 minutes. Then watch, you laughed at that. Therefore, watch Fox News and no, you won't instantaneously combust. So, but what'll happen is they'll see the same story, the same situation, and CNN will interpret it one way. How do they interpret it? According to their followers. They're going to interpret it how the people who are watching CNN expect them to interpret, analyze, and commentate on it. Fox News is the same way. They're going to cater to who their watchers are. But that's what happens. Same situation, and yet two different completely interpretation. How many remember COVID? Boy, if you don't. 5 years ago when that all happened, it was amazing how polarized. People were getting sick. Friends of mine in this congregation were dying. But how many know we all looked at the situation and saw it differently? Half the world said, well, it's this. Half the world said, no, it's not, it's this. I mean, on and on and on. To where I remember people coming into my office and saying, I can't invite my brother over because he just sees it different and he makes me so mad. Same situation, seeing it completely different. Completely different. Had people who just could not come to terms that someone would see it differently than they saw it. Consequently, we lost people from our church. I lost friends. because of the voices in their heads, and or, to be honest, the voices in mine. Let's be real about it. So the question is this today, how do we know what's true? How do we know what voices we should listen to today? How do we discern the voices we're called to trust? How do we resist the voices that quietly shape us in ways that, quite honestly, are destroying our culture, are destroying our families, are destroying our lives, are destroying our faith, many, and are destroying our witness to the world? How do we know who to trust today? To answer that, we have to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Again, a deep passage of scripture with much theological truth about humanity, about the fall. But here's what the Lord laid upon my heart. And it's how one noise, one voice begins to shape other voices. Now, before we talk about the serpent, before we talk about what's going on in him, we need to talk, we need to talk about what's going on in Adam and Eve. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must eat not from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, and or you will not die." The reason I started with verses 2 and 3 are this point. It's this thought. There's no misunderstanding here. Adam and Eve aren't confused. They know what God has said. They've walked with him. They've talked with him. They've listened to what God has said about that particular tree. There's no sense of confusion. They know God's command. They know what God said. Nothing has changed about God. What changes is who's speaking into their lives. Well, together? What's changing is the voice they have now decided upon which to listen. See, sin doesn't enter first through the rebellion of eating the fruit, but through listening to the wrong voice. That's where it starts. The fall begins when God's voice is no longer trusted and another voice in us, I mean them, is lifted up, The serpent doesn't, I find it amazing. The serpent doesn't yell, doesn't shout, doesn't demand. Listen to what the serpent says. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman," did God really say? Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? I mean, he asked a question and it doesn't sound all that bad, does it? I mean, he's not saying God lied to you. No, what he's saying is this. Did God really say? He sounds curious. He sounds reasonable. He sounds almost helpful today. But here's what the sneaky guy does. He reframes God's word to do what? To create doubt. He creates doubt. Did God really say? See, here's the thing about false voices that we may or may not be listening to. You ready? They can sound reasonable. They can sound normal, whatever that means nowadays. They can even sound spiritual, these voices. See, here's the thing. Noise in these voices, they don't replace God. They want to compete with God. They want to compete. What they really want to do with these voices is they want to relocate our trust. They want to relocate our trust. The noise of other voices reshapes God's character, and I'll show you. What did the serpent say? "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." See, the serpent implies, you know what? I think God's withholding something good from you. He's withholding something good. This God can't be trusted. God's boundaries are far too restrictive instead of being loving. See, whether they use the word God, whether they talk about God directly or no, eventually, every deceptive voice will eventually lie about God. They'll say things like this. "Well, you know what? God understands. God understands you. It's okay to have your own interpretation on this issue. Doesn't really matter because God understands." Or maybe this. "You know what? God doesn't think it's a big deal. God doesn't think it's a big deal. Go ahead and ignore the words of Jesus. It's not an issue for God." As an aside, how many know it probably is an issue? I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Listen to the voices long enough and it will change our identity. It'll change our desires. Why? Well, to be honest with you, deep down within all of us, in my opinion, those words, "you will be like God's a big deal." See, I think we hunger for autonomy. See, what the serpent is selling, it's not pleasure. What he's selling is autonomy. He's saying you will be like God. In other words, yourself will be raised up. Yourself will make the decisions. Yourself will become the final authority. Yourself will become the interpreter of truth. Yourself will become the center of it all. The loudest voices of today sell the same promise. We get to decide what's true instead of God. Even Eve begins to speak. Now, Eve doesn't talk, but I'm going to tell you, she begins to speak the serpent's language. You know how I know this? Because of what she does. She begins to speak the serpent's language without ever talking. The Bible said, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So what do we see? What do we read? Well, we know that, see the progression. We know she listens. She certainly had to mull it over. She had to consider it, right? Then after she considers it, she internalizes what she hears. She internalizes it. In other words, she doesn't just keep it out there. She's considered it, and now it's in here. And now what is she going to do? She's going to act on what's been internalized. She's going to act on what she heard, on what she considered, and now she's acted. See, what happens is the outside voice becomes the inside voice for Eve. The outside voice becomes the inside voice. How many know where I'm headed with this? It's the same with us. Let the voice, listen to it long enough, and the outside voice will internalize it, will consider it, will internalize it, and it will become. You want to know what the most dangerous voice in the world is? It's the one you can't differentiate from your own. Well, it makes sense? It's the one you listen to so long that their opinions, their analysis, their commentary is no longer out there. It becomes who you are. It becomes your thoughts. It becomes your way of understanding the world around you. You want most dangerous. We no longer recognize the external. Our voices get lost in their voice. Our voice gets lost in their voice. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, if I had been there, I wouldn't have listened to that serpent. I wouldn't have listened. You want to know the truth today? We're all listening to dozens of voices every single day. Every single day. Listening to voices that interpret the world around us for us. Voices that tell us who is right. Voices that tell us who is wrong. Voices that tell us who to blame. Voices that tell us who to fear. Voices that tell us who to be angry at or to rage against. And it's happening not just out there in the world, and this breaks my heart today, it's happening inside the church as well. Everyone's still awake. It's happening to people like you and I today. Facts don't deceive us, interpretations do. We see the same event, we hear the same speech, we read the same headlines, and yet come to completely different conclusions based on the voices that you and I listen to today. Why? Because we get flooded. It's no wonder people are giving in to the voices out there, because it's not just a voice here and a voice there. We get flooded with voices every single day. And what happens is when we get flooded every single day, we lose the ability to discern and understand which voices are true and which voices are not. It's one thing when the world loses its ability to discern, if they ever had it. It's another when we, the church, the body of Christ, lose our ability to discern and understand. We're called to live a life. Pastor Daniel, I think a couple months ago, spoke on discernment. Life of discernment and understanding, to follow the words and the commands of Jesus. Yes, I dared to use the word commands. The words and commands of Jesus over every power, over every verse, over every person, over every voice, over every spirit of this age, power and principality. We're called to discern and follow the words of Jesus today. Genesis 3 and 1 through 6 show us the dangers of listening to the wrong voice. Shows us the danger. But listen to the words of the Apostle John, the exhortation he gives, 1 John 4 and 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That is so important. I'm going to read it again. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This verse assumes that many voices will sound spiritual. Many of the voices will be convincing. Many of them may from time to time even quote just enough truth as bait to draw you in. But the Bible just said not all voices are from God. Not all voices are true. They're just loud. Now granted, I get passionate from time to time and the decimals go way up. I'm not sorry. Because I mean, this is big deal stuff to me. But not all voices are true. They're just loud. They get noisy. Discernment is not optional where there are many voices. Discernment is not optional when we live in a noisy world. It's a command. Now, I grant you, we can't avoid all the voices, but we can become people of discernment and understanding. Discernment doesn't mean we have to be suspicious of everybody. Discernment doesn't mean we have to hide in our rooms and never turn on anything. But discernment and understanding does mean that we need to learn that there are voices that don't deserve our trust. We can't be foolish on this thing. There are voices that you and I should not be listening to today. Is that okay to say? And we need to be honest about it. We need to confront. We need to say, Holy Spirit, fill me with discernment and understanding. May I practice discernment and understanding long enough to say, that voice is not for me. That voice is not true. It's time to restore discernment as a spiritual practice. You know, I don't even think spiritual discipline in the disciplines or the practices, I don't think spiritual discernment is in the top three when people talk about them, but I'm telling you, it should be. We got to become more discerning. We just do. So it's time to learn to ask questions. What questions would you have us ask? Good, I'm going to give them to you. Number one, what does this voice say about God? What does this voice say about God? Now they may not overtly talk about God, but you get a sense if it's a God thing or not, don't you? You listen to someone long enough, and if they're not pointing you to Jesus, they're probably pointing you somewhere else. See, false voices lead us to question what God said. False voices lead us like fish on a hook to wrong conclusions about Jesus. They reduce Jesus as a means to an end. Friends, I love you, and I love people, but I got to tell you, Jesus cannot be reduced to as a means to an end. Jesus doesn't belong on a bumper sticker. I'm sorry. Jesus doesn't belong in a slogan. Jesus doesn't belong as something that other people coerce you into doing because they mention the name of Jesus, and yet their hearts, the Bible said, are far from him. I'm having fun. How about you? I mean, honestly, reducing Jesus to something. He's the Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. He doesn't deserve, lift him back up and put him where he belongs. He is who he is. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he cannot be belittled or framed in a way that tries to sell whatever you're selling. False voices make obedience to the words of Jesus seem unreasonable and obsolete. I concur, the words of Jesus are more needed today than they've ever been in the history of the world. True voices always lean into trusting God and lead us that way as well. True voices increase reverence for God, not their control over us. And they align in some degree or fashion to with God's character. I mean, this isn't a question in your list, but we got to start asking, has this person been in the presence of Jesus? Or does this person lead me to question his wisdom, his love, and his authority? Any voice that diminishes God's voice is not a voice we should be listening to. I almost want to say amen, but I caught myself. Amen? Okay. Here's the second question, moving right along. What does this voice produce in me? You know what those false voices do, and you know, and you've got one that it's right on the tip of your tongue. Don't ever say it out loud, but you know what I'm talking about, any voice that makes you feel these ways. False voices tend to produce things like this: fear, rage, contempt, despair, pride, self-righteousness, an idea that we're better than other people. Those are all, Those are false voices. True voices produce conviction without condemnation. They produce courage without arrogance. They produce peace while engaging culture. They love without compromise. Jesus said we would be known by the fruit. And I got to be honest with you, sometimes the church is being known by the wrong fruit. Is that, I was going to ask if that was okay to say, but it's too late. Jesus said we will be known by what? By our fruit. We got to step, I have this picture of some prickly fruit. What's a prickly fruit? You know, it's amazing. You yell at, I can't hear one of you. One person. Prickly, I'm going to go with prickly pear because that's the one I heard. Friends, it's time to stop being prickly pears. Write that down in your notes. Jesus, help me stop being a prickly pear. I'm having fun. This is my last message of the day. Ask this, does this voice invite hurry or patience? You know what false voices do? They want it now. They want you. If you're standing with me, push like right now. If you're angry as me, push like or respond or send your money, do something. They always want you to act in the urgent. It demands immediate reactions. They thrive on your outrage and your urgency. They reduce They reduce complex issues to simplistic slogans. You know, Jesus talked so simply that anyone could understand him. But he wasn't simplistic. How many know there's a difference between simple and simplistic? There is. You know, there are complex issues facing our world today. There are complex issues that don't demand slogans, that don't demand simplistic answers, but they demand thinking and mulling over and working together and coming to a form. They demand nuance. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot fall into the trap of being simplistic. The message of the gospel may be simple, but it is never simplistic today. And it requires thinking people, you and me, that understand that the world cannot be put on a bumper sticker or a slogan or something like that, but it requires deep, spiritual, heartfelt thinking and emotions today. God's voice creates space. And there's no urgent with God. God creates space for wisdom. He invites us to wait in his presence. He invites us to wait upon him. He invites us to go on a long walk and sense the Holy Spirit beginning to speak. He invites us to jump into his word and say, Lord, show me your way, Lord. Show me your way. God doesn't incite panic. He invites followership today. Hurry and urgency, by the way, is how noise bypasses discernment. Ask yourself this, is this voice accountable or amplified? False voices gain power through repetition and loudness. Hey friends, you know, sometimes, you know who, there are people who annoy me. Bet you didn't know that. But I gotta tell you, just because you say something over and over and over doesn't make it true. You know, at the end of the day, you keep saying it and it's still a lie. And it just don't matter how loud you say it. You can say it over and over and you can say it loud. It is still untrue. It is still wrong. It is still a lie today. And let the church be discerning and understanding to get it. That just because someone is loud, and I get loud, I'm sorry. But just because someone is loud or repeats it doesn't make it true. What makes it true is God himself, this word. These are the things that are true. You know, false voices gain power through repetition. They resist correction. And they're validated by applause and by you pushing like, but not truth. True voices welcome correction. They welcome examination. They exist within a community of people who hold them accountable. And they submit to scripture and shared wisdom. True voices realize that God may be speaking to someone else in perhaps a little different way. And they're honest enough and open enough to listen. I thank God for the man, for the people in my life today. Lastly, and I'm not going to spend much time on this or, you know, does this voice draw me toward loving my neighbor? Jesus said, Jesus replied. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but the minute I say Jesus replied or Jesus said, we ought to perk up. Because I don't know how to say this, but his words are final. His words are true. They're not open for debate. They're not open for discussion. They're not open really for interpretation. When Jesus said these words, I mean, honestly, it's not the stuff in Scripture we don't understand. It's the stuff that I have trouble with, the stuff I already understand. For instance, Matthew 22, 37 through 39, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Yep, love your neighbor as you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Pastor Ray, I don't know if Jesus meant, yes, he did. Say, well, Ray, that's just your opinion. No, it's not. He said it right there. Black and white, right there. Some voices tell me who to hate, who to blame, who to rage against. God's truth, write this down, somebody. God's truth never requires the abandonment of love. Never requires the abandonment of love. And if you're following any voice that says you're not called to love your brother and sister, well, you need to not walk, you need to run to the nearest exit today. Is this voice consistent? I'm having fun today. I don't know if you are, but I'm enjoying this message. It's good preaching, right? Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm messing with you. I'm tired. Is this voice consistent with Scripture and the voice of Jesus? I don't mean, now I've been preaching over 40 years. I'm honest enough to say there have been times I may have cherry picked a verse or two. I'm sorry, I apologize. I didn't mean to do it, but sometimes you find that one part, and if you don't read the entire context of the verse, if you don't cross check with other passages, you can get it wrong. I've done it, I'm guilty, I'm sorry, please forgive me. That said, there are people who cherry pick verses and they know exactly what they're doing. It's just the way that it is. The question is, are they practicing the love of Jesus and are they being true to this word? You know, I've done that, but whenever I got done preaching over in the other multi-purpose room when we were in there, after every service, I would walk to the front and I would sit on the platform and I would say this, God, was I true to your word today? Because it matters. There are those who don't cherry pick. There's truth with love. There's courage with humility. There's conviction without cruelty. So here's the question as we get closer to closing, and I do need to hurry. I'm sure there's another game on. How do we push back? By the way, I understand the Hawks are playing next week at 1:30. So don't start getting ready at 11:15. How do we push back? Number one, we got to know our limits. Discernment requires limits. Ask yourself, and I'll move quickly through this. The person you listen to more than any other voice, that's who you're being discipled by. I mean, for crying out loud, we get you an hour a week. 30 minutes, maybe 30, maybe today an hour. The voice you listen to the most is the one that's discipling you, and you better make real sure it's a voice that's worthy of your followership, if that makes any sense whatsoever. What voice do I hear most often? What gets my attention? We consume consistently. What we consume consistently will shape our minds and our hearts today. Number two, slow down. Reaction time. Slow down. You know, any voice that wants you to push like right now, any voice that wants you to get all enraged and mad and follow them and, you know, go do this and this and this, just push pause. Worst decisions I ever make are when I do them in the moment. I find I need 24 hours to make a good decision. At least 24 hours, depending on the size, the weight of the decision. Before sharing, posting, forming conclusions, you need to pause. And for crying out loud, quit forming a conclusion based on someone else's conclusion. This stuff of your conclusion being whoever said the latest thing and you cut and paste their Facebook thing onto yours, just stop it. Please. Just stop. You know, it says some things, not about them. I'll stop. But about you. So, silence creates space for discernment. Well, I mean, there's some things, but you need to give credit for it. You need to say, hey, let me tell you why I'm doing this. This spoke to my heart. It touched me. I mean, if you want to do it that way, but add some context to what you're doing and make it something good that's worth cut and pasting. Is that okay, please? Okay, all right. Finally, two things. Recenter on Scripture. I think I've covered that. Recenter on Scripture, not as ammunition. I hate when this book is used as ammunition. I hate it. Let's not do that, friends. And if you have any pastor friends that do it, tell them stop. This isn't ammunition. Lastly, and I'm going to close right here. Practice communal discernment. You know why I love hanging with Pastor Daniel, Pastor Taylor. We have a standing, we go to lunch every Wednesday. Now, we'll talk other parts of the week, but we talk then. You know why I love doing it? Because we talk about things. We talk about weighty matters. We don't talk about golf. We talk about things. Talk about the church. Talk about issues that are confronting the church. There's something about isolation leads to something bad. Isolation leads to giving voices that don't deserve it place. You gotta hang with some other truth people. You gotta hang with some other brothers in Christ who don't take the words of someone out there, but believe and speak on the words of Jesus. It's huge today. We're gonna receive communion. I have more to say, but I'll say it in a few weeks. But I'm gonna ask whoever's supposed to, go get them. Thank you, Tammy. Sorry, that was terrible. I said last service. I said, well, listen, the ushers are coming. They're gonna have communion. I'm gonna stop talking, and one little kid over there said, yeah. And so I'm a. Hey, listen, it's legal to laugh in church, okay? Dan, can I have one of those? It's legal to laugh in church, but you got to be able to turn on a dime. And by that, I mean, I want us to exit the laughter and focus in on the quiet space we're about to give you with the Lord Jesus. Nothing more important today than celebrating his death and resurrection, amen? Let's worship the Lord together.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.